Hey guys. Felicia here. Before we start the show, I want you to do me a quick favor. Can you hit that like button? Can you hit that subscribe button? Can you leave me a written review? If you've been listening to this show, you love this show. If you've had a coaching session with me and you rocking with me and this show has helped you, please let the people know. Please write a review. This helps other people know about the show. Also, go share this with somebody. Don't keep all this goodness to yourself. Because I'm telling you, like, even in today's episode, gems are about to be dropped. Don't hoard the gems. Share. The more gems you share, the more gems you'll get. It's the law of the universe. Okay? All right. Now let's start the show. Welcome to the Trill MBA Show. I'm your host, Felicia Ann Rose Anuha, aka the Trillest MBA you will ever know. And I'm here to help you survive and thrive in corporate America by giving you the truth and being as real as only I can be. Happy Sunday, guys. Welcome back to the show. This show is going to be a moment of transparency. I'm definitely going to just talk from my heart. It's been one of those weeks. I've been traveling. It's a lot happening that I'm trying to sort through, trying to get myself organized. You know, I started this show because I was in corporate and I was struggling and I was hitting my head against walls that I didn't understand. And no one would tell me like the truth. Like I felt that everything was always sugarcoated. Everything was always cryptic. I had these mentors, a lot of times they were Black, and it felt like their stance was, you need to figure it out on your own. I'll give you a piece of the puzzle, but you need to go put that puzzle together yourself.
Let's play the puzzle.
And when you don't know what you don't know, it's like getting the puzzle pieces without the big picture on the box and being told, put it together, but you don't even know how the picture's supposed to look. And so I started this show because I felt like I couldn't be the only one that just didn't get it. Like I just didn't get it. And here we are years later, and I'm gonna be honest with y'all, there's still some shit I don't get. It just baffles me. It puzzles me. Like, why are all these things happening? And right now, I'm in this space where I'm able to hear a lot of other people who are in corporate, especially people of color, especially women, who are having these challenges. And it really boils down to, I just didn't know how to handle that situation, and I didn't get my best possible outcome. So, for example, you start a new job, you'd interviewed, everything went well, you're excited, and the hiring manager hired you. But then fast forward 3 months, 6 months, 9 months, a year, all that time you're with the manager that hired you, things are going great, you're loving it, it's amazing, and then the organization decides to make changes. And now you have to report to a new person. And sometimes that person, they didn't hire you. They don't know you. And they just look at you and have all these assumptions and automatically deem you unqualified, not fit. They start picking at your work. They start, you know, trying to negate any good things that you've done since you've been in the organization, any good narratives that you have in the organization, your work all of a sudden isn't good enough.
Yeah, that's some bullshit.
Nobody teaches us what to do in that situation. Like, nobody teaches you how to handle it. Nobody teaches you how to resolve for the conflict, how to turn that relationship around with that person, how to approach that person. And so we do what we would naturally do as a human being, because we have a flight or fight system built within us. We need to survive. And understand, when you're talking about your job, you're in the mind frame of survival, because that paycheck equates to your survival. It's how you put food on the table for you and your family. It's how you put a roof over your head. It's how you support yourself and the people you love and care about. Survival. But here you are supposed to not take this personally when this person who's your new manager is a complete asshole to you for no real inherent reason that you can discern, because nobody has taught us how to deal with people and personalities in the workplace. And so you're left with your normal human reaction, which what you should actually do is counterintuitive to your natural human response to the situation that you're in. But nobody tells us that. And especially if you're fighting a stereotype, you're fighting a bias, you're fighting these things that people don't even know they consciously have. Literally, you will work with people who don't like you on sight. They have no real reason not to like you. It is something about you. It is something about your shine. It is something about your glow. It is something about your spirit and your aura. But it is something about you. And now their brain just wants to find things to substantiate why they don't like you. It is a very human behavior. And the response that you need to execute in order to come out on top and get your best possible outcome in this situation is counter to what your natural response is when you come up against somebody who is in an authority position over you, and then they mistreat you because they don't like you. And I have learned different ways that actually work that my clients use to survive. And it's exhausting. I have one client. I literally told her to put some lipstick on, put her hair in a bun, put glasses on. And then I told her that whenever the manager who was criticizing her and threatening to put her on a PIP asked her to do something, I told her, stop trying to do the best of your abilities and just do it fast. Do it as fast as possible, because that's all he really wants. I said, look at the person who he gives accolades to. And we talked through this, right? And I had a lot more context than what I'm giving now. But basically, the person that he was like, oh, this person is great and, you know, rah, 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 their work product was not that great, okay? Their work product wasn't excellent. This client was working to be excellent, and so she would really put her heart and soul into her work. And the one thing I have learned is, stop giving people what they didn't ask you for. He's asking you to give him things quickly. He clearly does not care about the quality, because if he did, that would be a different conversation that he would be having with you. On top of, he would be having that conversation with everybody else on the team. But the person he's giving accolades to is the person whose work product is mediocre and fast. So while you're taking all this time to be perfect, you're wasting time and not giving this man what he wants. On top of now, you need to finesse him with your personality and your charm. You need to get in his good graces so he'll leave you alone. How you do that? Let's change up how you show up on this camera. Because the energy that you put out when you interact with him is the energy you're going to get back. So if you come on the line happy and jolly and you got this red lip on and your hair's back like you're a boss and you're, you know, a little mini executive working it, he's going to change his disposition. Because it's going to be very hard for him to be curmudgeon-y and an asshole when you are coming with all this energy that's so positive and bright. Because he'll feel his own assholeness reflected from your positivity.
So much positivity. Must not be an asshole.
So the result of that one call, fast forward some time later, not only was the girl that was giving all the act like, oh, this is great, this is great, not only did she lose her job and was let go, he was also let go. Because one thing that holds true is that if you're having your people do mediocre work, you're not going to last. The universe has a way of correcting these things. You just have to survive long enough to give the universe time to do what it does. And so then she got promoted. Because also in that conversation, it was, you've got to build a relationship wall around this particular person who's your manager. So you've got to be in relationship with his peers and his boss's peers. They need to know you. They need to know your work. They need to know your ideas. One thing we mess up on in corporate is believing our managers. I know that sounds horrible, but believing that our managers have our best interests at heart. The only thing you need to believe is that your manager has your manager's best interest at heart. And a good manager will understand that if I focus on making sure that my team gives its best, does its best, is the best team, then that is my best interest at heart in the organization. And the problem is, even though that's the right thing long term, sometimes in the short term, it's a bad short term play for the manager. Because if I'm busy making sure the organization knows who my team is, how great they are, all these things, then the organization can sometimes turn around and be like, you're caring too much about people management. But they don't say it that way. They'll say things like, oh, we don't think you have the fire, or we don't see you as leadership potential, even though they're the best leader. They will sit there and say, we don't think you have the chops to run the whole department or division. You're not quite tough enough because you care about your people. Isn't that crazy? Everything about corporate America is just counterintuitive to what it really should be. I still don't understand why, I'll be honest with you. It makes no sense. It makes no fucking sense at all.
Yeah, that's some bullshit too.
And so I just am baffled a lot of times. And I hear the same stories over and over and over again. And it boils down to about three things. You can troubleshoot about three different things that people are going through in organizations. One, a lack of confidence. I'm telling you, a lack of confidence in a corporate setting will have you at the bottom and have you feeling like these people are on your neck. The people who walk into work confident, even in their mediocrity, child, listen, It is about, I don't need to know everything, but I can figure out anything. That's the type of confidence you need to have when you walk into these spaces or you join these team calls. So that's number one, confidence. You have to have confidence in your abilities. The moment somebody smells a crack in your confidence, it's going to feel like they're exploiting it. And in some ways, it's weird. They are. But then in some ways, that's your own ish playing itself out, mirroring back to you. It's a weird, weird thing. But that's what's happening. If you've ever been confused, and then your natural reaction is just to work harder, and that actually doesn't help. That actually makes it worse. The reaction to questioning your work or whatever you're going through is to come back with supreme confidence and to rest in your confidence and to show up knowing that you either know the answer or you can find the answer out. People respond differently when you show up confidently. They begin to create a narrative about you that you are competent when you show up confident. So that's number one. Number two is relationship building. We talk about it all the time. I broke down, I have episodes, lots and lots of episodes, where I went through chapter by chapter how to win friends and influence people. You have to know how to finesse in these spaces. And you have to be confident that you can figure out how to finesse in these spaces. If you don't know or not comfortable, or, you know, a lot of us just want to be left alone. Let me do my work. Now, when you think through relationship, you cannot focus on what can this person do for me? You need to stay focused on what value can I add to this person? That is the number one attitude to have to build really good, strong relationships. How do I help this person? How do I understand where they're trying to go and how do I help them get there? When you focus on helping other people, I guarantee you everything you need, all the protection you need, it comes to you. So for example, you're in this new company, you're in a new role, hiring manager, you have a great relationship. Ask that hiring manager, or your now manager, they hired you. Ask them, hey, who else in the organization should I know? Should I get to know? Should I meet? Your first 90 days in the organization is the best time to work on relationship building because one, nobody's expecting you to like immediately pick up 50 million things. Two, you need to build relationships and everybody knows it. So they'll make space and time for you to do that in the workload. And you should be 80% building relationships, 20% learning the business, ramping up, learning the projects, jumping in. Like if you go in with a particular mindset from the jump about, I'm going to go in and I'm going to build as many allies as I can, as fast as I can. And it really is, hey, I'm new to the organization. I'd love to have coffee chat with you. Such and such said that you're a great person to know and you have a lot of institutional knowledge. I'm going to be working on XYZ projects and I would really love to have a conversation and get your buy-in on what we're working on. Child, let me tell you something. If you tell somebody you want to meet with them so they can have input and say, baby, that's one of the most powerful things you can say to people in corporate. Why? Because nobody gets real input and say in corporate. Because nobody really cares. Everybody's operating in a weird, funky way. And if you navigate around that and show up differently, you will make your mark. Because let's be honest, you're a woman of color. You're already different from the time you walk in the door. Now use your superpowers. Okay? And so when you get people to put skin in the game, now, whatever you produce, they feel like they had something to do with it and they're going to big up it and they're going to be proud of it because everybody's pseudo proud of themselves, especially the male ego. Child, listen, if you work with a bunch of men, the male ego is the best helper to you when you know how to utilize it. Do not be afraid to stroke any male ego in your office. Oh my God, Tom, you're so funny. I just love your energy, Tom. Keep that up. Now, every time Tom sees you, he's now has this expectation that he got to be high energy and positive and nice to you. I'm telling you. Listen, How to Win Friends and Influence People. If you don't have this book and keep it on hand at the ready, you're doing yourself a disservice. Because every situation you come up against, you can flip through that book and be like, okay, how am I going to troubleshoot this? How do I say what I need to say? How do I frame it? How do I think through what this conversation is going to be in order to continue to build relationships and drive your level of influence in the organization? That's key. Because the more influential you can make yourself to the organization, the more you can hedge against the ups and downs of talent management, i.e. getting laid off, restructuring, being put on the best projects, being put on high visibility projects. These are all things you need to do to drive your career, but you can't do those things if you don't have the relationships. So that's number two. Number three thing that you need outside of confidence and relationships, I would say the most important thing is you need a therapist. And here's why I say that. I know you probably weren't expecting that. You really weren't expecting you need a therapist, but you do. You need a therapist. And here's why. You are going to go through some situations that are going to scar you. If you haven't already, if you listen to this show, you probably already have. And you probably don't even realize it because we're taught like, it's work. It's not a big deal. Don't take it personal. All this BS. But how many of you have literally had somebody tell you, you know, I don't think this company, this job, this function, I don't think that it's for you. Maybe you need to go find something else. How many people have had that said to them? Way too many, especially Black women. And for the life of me, I don't understand who the fuck you think you are to sit up there and tell me what's for me and what's not for me. Who made you that decision maker? And a lot of times, if you think about, if you really take the time to critically reason why this person feels the need to tell you this, it's over some bullshit. It's not even over like actual work product. Or even if it is over actual work product, it's subjective work product. It's not like you had an activation or you had this detailed spreadsheet and everything had to be perfect and you missed a number. Like, it's not anything. It will never be anything like that. It is always, quite frankly, I don't like you. And so that must mean that you shouldn't be doing this job. Bitch. Like, Let me calm down. I could feel the anger rising up. And this is why you need a therapist. Because there are things that you will go through that will poke at your childhood trauma. There are things that you will go through that will give you new trauma. There are things people will say to you, the most egregious things. There are things people will do to you. I think one of the most egregious things that we really don't talk about a lot is the way that people will pet you or your hair, or they'll comment on your hair or your body or your looks or how you show up. And we are so resilient that we will sit there and we will be like, oh no, it's fine, it's okay. Yeah, that person's stupid. Like, we try to push it off and dismiss it. And I'm telling you, those microaggressions, they are a death by a thousand little cuts. And you can't just let yourself bleed out. And the way that you not let yourself bleed out is you get a therapist and you process all of those things, all of the things that will chip away at your confidence, will chip away at your relationships in the workplace, that will chip away at you and have you questioning your abilities, have you questioning who you are, have you questioning and asking, are you good enough? And I'm here to tell you, abso-fucking-lutely, you always have been. From the moment you came out the womb, you have been good enough. Regardless of whether these people see it or not, fuck them. Get a good therapist. Because just you listening to me tell you that this one time isn't enough for you to stay in the right frame of mind to make it through every day. And then the last thing I'll leave you with, I saw something on the internet and I realized, I was like, you know, this is very, very true. Shout out to Stacy. My friend Stacy, she always puts out these posts, but she quoted Malcolm Forbes. I have no idea who Malcolm Forbes is. Maybe I should know. I don't, I'll be honest. But the quote is, the biggest mistake people make in life is not trying to make a living at doing what they most enjoy. And I'm here to tell you, when I read that, I almost start crying. That hit so hard because I think a lot of us are on this, go to school, get a good job, you know, survive, get married, have kids, you know, the blueprint of what being a successful human in this society means. And I'm here to tell you that if it's not hitting for you, you got to do something else. You got to figure something else out. And I know that's hard. And it's so hard because this paved road that they made for us to stroll along on so we could be worker bees, and they've been preparing us since elementary school to be their worker bees. If it don't resonate with you, if this ain't working for you, if you sitting in your job and you're like, I'm not happy, but I'm not sad. If you sitting in your job and you're like, I hate this shit, but what else am I going to do? Like, if you sitting in your job, you owe it to yourself to figure out what the fuck you really supposed to be doing. You really owe that to yourself. And sometimes that'll look like blowing up your whole life. And so what? You got time? Hopefully. You don't know. That's why you should just do it. Blow that shit up. You'll be fine. It'll all work out. Is it always going to be comfortable? No. It's going to be hella uncomfortable. Trust. But when you take your last breath on this earth, do you want to die comfortable wondering what could you have been in your life? Or do you want to die knowing I left all this shit on the table? Like, I put it all out on the field. I left no stone unturned. I tried my fucking best. And it is what it is. Which way do you really want to go out? We only got so much time here. How you going to spend it? How you going to use it? How you going to help? What legacy are you going to leave? Especially when it comes to corporate. Like, what are you doing with your career? We all got to work because we all got to eat. So you're not getting out of working unless you, you know, marry somebody who will take care of you for the rest of your life and they going to work. But somebody got to work. And a lot of times it's us. So what you going to do, girl? What you gonna do? And that's really for me, y'all. I mean, hopefully if that helps somebody, listen. But these are the inner dialogues that I'm having. But yeah, I just wanted to come and have this conversation with y'all. This was on my heart. I've been working with a lot of people who, you know, are struggling in corporate for no real reason. There's no real reason for you to be struggling. You have a choice. You're not as stuck as you think you are. And the answer isn't run to another job. Like, you need to sit and pause and say, okay, what are the things I love? What are the things I don't love? Like, you really need to do the work. A therapist can help you work through a lot of some things. If you have confidence in your ability that you can figure it out, you'll figure it out. If you build the right relationships, people will come and help you. I'm telling you, those are the keys right there. Those three things, processing your shit, being confident about where you are, how you are, who you are, whose you are, And then having good relationships and good people around you, because those good people, they're going to want to help you. They'll see your greatness and you can help them. And through helping them, it'll help you figure out some things for yourself too. Never underestimate the power of helping. Being help, taking help, giving help, being helpful. Very powerful thing in this world. So I'm going to stop running my mouth now. That was on my heart. We didn't have no commercial break. That's fine. Sometimes I just need to get things off my chest. And then hopefully now I can go actually get back to these tips, tricks, and tactics. That I can structure an episode about a particular thing to help you guys with. So until next week, y'all. If y'all need any advice, any help, you already know what to do. Go to ask@trillmba.com/coaching. You can sign up for a discovery call to learn more about our coaching packages. Or if you just know exactly what the question you have for me and you just want to sign up for a one-on-one with me, you can do that too. Or you can send us an email at ask@trillmba.com. I'm happy to either answer your question, or if I don't know the answer, I'll find somebody in my network that can answer the question for you, but we'll get your question answered, okay? Again, that's trillmba.com/coaching to learn more about coaching, or ask@trillmba.com to send a question. If you want to just tell us, you know, what the show has meant to you, that's awesome. Please do that as well. So, until next week, guys, keep it true.
The Trill MBA Show is a Fair World Corp. LLC production. Executive produced by Felicia and Rose Inuha. Sound design and editing by Chris Mann with Podshaper. Theme music is Kick Push by Ryan Little. Keep it trill every day, y'all.